Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. Coming your way from our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard, the nation's capital. Grant Paulson and in for Danny Ruye, whose holiday vacay on Christmas week has begun. Steve Zabin in the saddle for the next couple of days with me.
What up, Grant Paulson?
Zabe, welcome aboard, my friend.
Can I
What's
call
good?
You Jeeps, or do I need to earn a certain amount of airtime points?
I think, you know what, all of the many, many hours in my life that I spent listening to you over the years.
You going
to
fast track me on that?
You get grandfathered right in, my friend.
Do you like that nickname, Jeeps?
I do. I gave it to myself in like middle school.
Did you really?
Which you're normally not supposed to do.
You're like Costanza.
It was a
T-bone.
GP, and then I don't know why we pluralized it. So we started doing that like with just buddies going out or sports teams or whatever, and it kind of stuck. So yeah, I'm fine with it.
Well, it's good. That's like my nickname, Zabe, kind of came in college. My high school friends didn't call me that, but I went to school out at the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. Them California boys who didn't know anything about me are like, you're Zabe now. And I'm like, okay. And I just ran with it. So
2025, all these years later?
Right, exactly.
That's what you are.
Once something sticks, it's hard to get rid of. By the way, I'm just hustling up a little bio on Jeff Driscoll. I just heard in the update. He has now been added to the mix.
He is
exciting
back.
Times. The pride of Oviedo, Florida, by way of Louisiana Tech and then Florida before that. Sixth rounder back in the day.
Was here last preseason. Actually played well in the preseason and was a third quarterback for a stretch. And so there's some familiarity. I want to get into what that means, not only for the quarterback room and the fact that it's probably a no-go now for Marcus Mariota. Also, Sam Hartman. What is it that you'd say you do here? I mean, you're buddies with Jaden Daniels, I get that. This would seem like the time to elevate him in the lost season with 2 weeks left to kick the old tires.
They must really hate what they see out there from Sam Hartman.
He's very handsome. They can't hate that.
Impossibly dreamy. He's kind of like Will Levis. I call Will Levis, when he was playing, I called him the Netflix quarterback because he's the kind of guy that if Netflix did a movie about football, they'd go, that guy.
Right.
Square jaw, great looks, athletic. Like, he'd be great playing quarterback on Netflix. In a real game, though, oh, no, bad disaster. Hartman's kind of similar in that regard.
I've got six texts from my wife since this morning asking if Sam Hartman's going to get a start.
Oh, I bet.
Here at the end of the year, and I have to break the news to her when I get home tonight. Sorry, hon. Two things. One, I haven't started my shopping. And two, Sam Hartman is not going to be playing quarterback for the locals. They signed Jeff Driscoll instead. But we'll get to that. There's a lot to chew on today on the Commanders and an NFL front. One of the best weekends as far as the National Football League goes that we've had this football season, undoubtedly. And we got to enjoy it all. Sunday, Thursday, we got to take
you worked Thursday.
A little bit. I suppose.
You were there.
Saturday night you're talking about?
No, I'm sorry. Saturday night, not
yes.
Thursday.
I did.
You
I was
worked
there.
Saturday night, so you didn't get to enjoy the nightcap game.
Not as much as I wanted to.
Right.
Got home in time to watch the good chunk of it.
Okay.
But, yeah, I missed the first half of JMU, which was the half I wanted to miss, as it turned out.
Right.
They got
what a brutal backdoor cover for every Oregon bettor. They had gone, I looked at that, I couldn't believe it. I had a tiny piece on Oregon minus, nothing significant.
Yeah.
But I went and I looked it up, and it was like JMU had drives of 3 yards, 5 yards, and minus eight. And then Oregon shut the electricity off and went home, and JMU went 9 for 89, 9 for 99, and a 2-point conversion to cover the 20.5.
I was happy for them just to show something, right? You don't know when the next opportunity you're going to get is. You don't want to get trounced. My phone's already filling up with texts from people trolling.
How many friends do you have that went there?
Oh, tons.
Okay.
Where I went to high school at King George High in King George, Virginia, it's like Tech and JMU are the top two seeds.
Sure, sure.
But that's the case for a lot of people in the state. And it just so happens now my friend group, my wife went there, so most of her really good friends.
Oh, okay, so your wife is a Duke.
And if we had a party with all of our buddies, we could have 25, 30 people watching it.
Okay.
You know, it was hopping.
Where did you go to school? I forgot to ask
Mason.
This. You're a Mason guy, that's right. Okay. Yeah, the whole JMU thing, I know so many guys that, of course, went, and they all love the school. I like to get under their skin by calling it Exit 65 University because it's literally right off the highway. It's really beautiful down there. I'm like, okay. You like going there. I'm just teasing you, all right? Very defensive about it. But the whole phenomenon of them climbing out of 1AA, going to Division I, and at the time, I think a lot of us were like, you sure about that? And they're actually hanging and banging. They got, obviously, boat raced, but that's going to be the case.
Yeah. Sunbelt. They're going to be a problem
every year.
And they've had now, this will be their third coach and going with Napier. And I think even though the leveling down from Florida is indicative of the job he did there, it's a really good hire for them.
Yeah.
But you've seen Kurt Cignetti, just Google him, what he's done at Indiana.
Right.
Bob Chesney's now going out to UCLA. The only way I think they eventually keep head coaches from making that leap is if they were to join the ACC or get into a different conference probably.
Yeah.
Because the money's just not going to be there otherwise. But for now, they're a player in that conference, and in years where the ACC or somebody else throws up all over themselves, you can be the beneficiary.
In theory, yeah, but what I sense, Grant, is that the powers are scheming afoot to make sure this never happens again. In fact, I think they just said that there's certain provisions, not just for Notre Dame, but for the other Power Fours, that if you're in the top 12, you're in, no matter what.
Right.
So I do think they're scheming to keep it from happening again, but I think you saw the way that the ACC is going to work their schedule next year, how messed up it is.
Yep.
Nine teams are going to play, or no, like half the league is going to play nine games. Three teams are going to play eight games. And it's like, how are you going to figure it out at the end? It's even worse than this year was.
I think the good news for JMU or Tulane or any of the other teams from conferences of the like is the field's going to expand again. So
that would be the saving grace.
At a dozen, they might be cooked with whatever.
At 16, maybe not.
Finagling and basically, working against them, scheming that's going to get done. But I think at 16 or anything larger, they'll be fine.
I don't need any more. In fact, I think the right number is 8, but nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah. Bigger is better for people, seemingly. Like, the tournament's a great example. I feel like every 2 or 3 years we hear about adding to the tournament, and I think it will only water it down and make it worse. But they can't help themselves.
Yeah, but you're a baseball guy. You remember when baseball basically said, or the network said to baseball, we don't want any more product.
We
can't handle any more product. I think at some point television says, we only want so much product, because they'll have to pay for the extra stuff that may not be very good product. And certainly two of those games over the weekend were bad product.
No doubt about it. The people that are making the argument because those games were so bad means they shouldn't have been there, I disagree with, because the system is the system.
They were there by fair and square.
Absolutely.
By the system that was set up.
And people seem to always forget there are blowouts with the Power Five conference teams all the time.
Yes.
Constantly.
They are. Mm-hmm.
You know, Ryan, who produces for us here, Clary, is a big Notre Dame guy who was reveling in the fact that JMU got whooped. I'm going to have to send him the game log of the Fighting Irish in the playoffs, because there's some 42-14s and some 47-17s in there, too. I mean, it happens, man.
You will exhaust yourself arguing with domers over this thing.
No doubt.
I know a couple, and they're still running their mouth. Had one of them in glee at halftime, or not even halftime, after one quarter with Oklahoma up 17-0.
Yeah.
Oh, they were loving it. And then everything got real quiet after
yes,
that.
It all came crashing down. We'll talk to Jake Gruden today, by the way, at 5 o'clock, our weekly appointment with the former head coach. He watches the tape for us. We break down Commanders games with him. Speaking of which, first chance for you and for me to crack the mic here on this Commanders loss. They're now 4-11. 29-18, they fall to the Eagles on Saturday night. So we're at a point of the season, Zabe, where I got to be honest, I've lost my energy to come on and do the they lost another game and just break down the specifics of
I still think you're going as strong as anybody.
Well,
you're getting into the weeds and some of the Easter eggs about I like McGee's speed. We got to get him more reps.
Look, we're trying.
But no, you're trying. You're doing it.
Well, here's what
I listen
mean,
to
though.
Take Command with you and Grant, with Logan
yeah.
on the way in. And I was like, these boys are getting after it.
We're chopping wood. Someone's got to pull the rope. But I guess what I mean is I can't sit here 2 days in this case after a game and care a whole lot about results. Like, this is now more process. This is more about a Jordan McGee or a Ben Sennett or what have you, which we can get into. But the quick blush breakdown of this game, if we want to run through it, I thought for a half, they looked competitive.
They played. Did not quit.
They looked inspired and like they were prepared well, which has not been the case in all their games this year. Jake Elliott misses a couple of field goals. The Eagles only have 7 points after 30 minutes. You've held Saquon Barkley in check. You're up 10-7. And then what I saw was the defense just completely got gassed.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got pushed around. Barkley, who went 6-for-16 in the third quarter, 6 carries, 76 yards with a homer in the fourth quarter. And the Eagles in the second half, after scoring 7 points at intermission, 17-play, 74-yard drive, another 7-for-37 and a touchdown after the turnover, and then a 4-play, 80-yard drive to put the game on ice. It just felt like the dam broke a little bit against a far superior team as far as talent goes.
Better team, although I talked to an Eagle fan this morning, and they were like, yeah, we won, but the team is still a mess. Pointed out all the sloppiness, all the things that weren't going right, the ongoing deficiencies of their quarterback, who is kind of at a low-key war with both the rest of the team and the fan base. So they look at it from the lens of, yeah, it shouldn't have even been that close. But I credit Quinn and the Commanders for showing up and being functional on a week-to-week basis, which is not something every team can say. Because you look at several ghost ships right now floating on the ocean in the NFL, two of which will meet each other this coming weekend for the number one pick in the draft, the Giants and the Raiders. The Jets are a ghost ship. It looks like Miami is now. Quinn Ewers was absolutely terrible down
there.
Yeah, the Cardinals are probably in that category as well. So I give the Commanders credit in that regard. But yeah, this is what sucks about seasons that unravel and disintegrate well before Christmas, is that there's not a lot that makes sense to dig into because there's going to be so many changes and so many things different next year. The way I look at it is, okay, what are the three biggest decisions they have facing them in the offseason? And I'm wondering what you think and whether your big three would match my big three.
Do you want to go with what I think they should be or what I think they will be? Because I'll give you an
example.
Those
are two different sets, and
yeah.
I would like to hear both sets.
So I think there should be a conversation about their offensive coordinator into
Fair.
The offseason.
Yes.
I don't think there will be. I think the three biggest questions they'll answer are, number one, defensive coordinator.
Okay.
Do you bring Joe Witt back and let Dan Quinn call plays and let him do whatever he does during the week? I don't think so. I think there's going to be a lot of quality options available.
I hope that's a short deliberation. That, to me, should be an easy switch out.
You would think so. Also, look at some of the names that might get fired that are current head coaches that would be decent coordinators here. Guys like Jonathan Gannon in Arizona or Todd Bowles possibly in Tampa Bay or Raheem Morris maybe in Atlanta. Say what you want about any of those guys as head coaches. As coordinators, I think they've proven themselves.
Right. Right.
And would be dramatic, significant upgrades so that Quinn could go back to doing some of the things he needs to do on the sideline during the game so that he's coaching up a better game on Sundays.
All right, so that's one big question. What's another one?
I think they've got to figure out what they're going to do at wide receiver. And that starts with, do you make any attempt to retain Deebo Samuel, who's going to be a free agent? I don't think they will. I don't think they should, unless he would come back on a one-year discount. Does that mean you get into the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes?
Hell no.
Get ready for it. Buckle up.
Did you see the video he posted?
I did.
Of him speeding by Levi's?
He touched 102 miles an hour like he's Louis Perales, the Nats' new pitcher they just acquired from the Boston Red Sox.
This guy is a certified jackass, and I wouldn't want to deal with him at all, but I am afraid that Peters connection could be too strong, and he might say, nah, he's misunderstood.
So it's not just Peters, though. His best friend is the starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
And by all accounts, they're still very close. You would think Daniels would be willing to stand on the table to say, let's take a look-see. Now, well, I'm not interested.
Well, that table was taller last year for Daniels than it is now. It's a footstool now. I don't think he has as much juice this year as he would have last year.
That's true.
But he'll have pull for sure. Yeah,
he'll still have a lot of juice. I mean, this is still your franchise quarterback, your second contract guy in the moment that they're viewing is everything they do this offseason is through the lens of getting him back.
Sure, sure.
And if he's telling you at a position of need, love this guy, he wants to come in here, he's motivated. And by the way, he's not going to make a lot of money. He's coming off of a really serious injury with a bad rehab situation, where he hasn't been on the field in over a year.
With a bad attitude, don't forget
he's got
that. He brings that to the table as well.
That doesn't fit in the overhead compartment on Southwest Airlines.
Exactly.
It's not like he's going to break the bank.
I would not want to be a part of that.
I'm with you. But I think that they could be intrigued. But anyways, number two.
But conceptually, I do agree that having a badass number one at wide receiver is a crucial part of the modern NFL.
No doubt. That's my second kind of area that they need to attack or thing they need to consider is what am I doing at wide receiver?
Is Tunsil's money a question to you?
So I'm not putting that on my list because I think it's a no-brainer.
I would hope it is as well, but it's still a decision.
Then if that counts, that's top three, but here's how that's going to go. Ring, ring, hey, who's this? It's Laramie. Hey, it's Adam. How you doing? I want an extension. Okay, cool. We'll draw it up and send it over. Let us know what you want. Done.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Peters will do that for him when he didn't for Terry?
Their issue with McLaurin was age at the wide receiver position.
Okay.
And the fact that track record and history says, data says, this is not going to age very well at this spot. That's not the case at tackle. Trent Williams is still the best in the game. So, yeah, I think they'll pay him. Right now, his AAV, Zabe, is like fifth at the tackle position.
Yep.
He's very well within his rights. I think he's the number six ranked tackle out of 82 via PFF. He might be the best pass protecting tackle in the league. He could call them up and say, you know how Jaden Daniels' health is the single biggest thing that you're dealing with right now?
Right.
I want to be the highest paid tackle in the league at 29.5 or $30 million. And they would say, okay.
And are you okay with them committing that much into that position?
I think so. I mean, you're not paying a quarterback yet. You got to pay somebody. The left tackle
that
or the wide
true.
Receiver seem to be elevators for the quarterback position, right?
By the way, I'm shopping on a mock draft for a wide receiver. Doesn't look like anyone is mocking a true number one wideout in the top five or six.
So Jordan Tyson?
Jordan Tyson's the guy out of Arizona State.
I've seen him mock to Washington at seven. I got to say, seven for a wideout, Zabe, little rich for your boy. I'm desperate to
philosophically trade back. Or just based on the talent in the draft?
Philosophically.
Okay.
And certainly this year, too. Like, there's not a can't-miss guy. I loved Malik Nabers coming out. I would not have had a problem drafting him at number seven overall, let's say.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people that were sold on Marvin Harrison. I wasn't as big a fan. But at seven, that would have made a lot of sense to me with his, you know, bloodlines and production.
Sure.
But whether it's Jordan Tyson or the other guy that's going to go very early in this class is Carnell Tate. Who wears number 17 at Ohio State. Kind of familiar around these parts, right?
Listen, that's a good place to shop for wideouts.
It's certainly
Ohio State and Alabama. When Alabama's wideouts were making those big catches to come back against Oklahoma, I said to a buddy on a text thread, I'm like, damn, Bama has the nicest receivers all the time. Them and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Those are the places to shop. Penn State, not so much.
No, not well, unless you get Jahan Dotson, and then you can flip him for whatever it is that you get a couple years later. But yeah, I think that I'm trade back Paulson. You know that about me.
Yes.
Big trade back guy. If they can do that, I have no problem going receiver. But in the top 10, it feels like they're going to get an impact defender if they stay put.
Yeah.
And you got plenty of options where you could use upgrades there. The edge, it could be a safety if, you know, Caleb Downs is there, or you could get an off-ball linebacker on the second level.
Sure.
There's quite literally nothing they could do on defense to add a player of elite caliber in the top 10 where that guy wouldn't suddenly be the best player on your defense day one next year.
Now, have you talked about the backup quarterback decision and how many games of availability do you realistically count Jaden Daniels for going forward? Because I think having a non-awful backup, if you're going to have Daniels, and maybe a guy who complements what Daniels does, is a significant thing.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, and that's one of the big decisions they've got to make, too, is how much are you willing to pay Marcus Mariota if one of the as many as six teams that might be in the market for a starting quarterback come calling and offering him that mid-tier money in the 17 to 20 range to be a bridge starter? Are you willing to offer him 14 or 15 million if that's what it takes with incentives to make more at QB2? Is that something you're willing to do?
14 gets to be a bit rich for me.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
If you're not convinced that Daniels can start in every game, then paying a backup quarterback becomes pertinent. It's one of the most important positions you've got then.
Yeah.
You can't go into the year with his buddy Sam Hartman holding the clipboard behind him or needing to make the phone call to Josh Johnson or Jeff Driscoll as they did today.
Let's prank your wife and say that, oh, hey, call her during a break and say, honey, you won't believe this. I found out Hartman did a beefcake calendar for Christmas.
She's probably already ordered it.
Do you want me to get you one?
I like that, actually.
And see how jazzed up she gets. And then say, ha ha, April Fool's for Christmas.
She might get a little steamed up. Big Sam Hartman fan. I want to get into a couple of the big storylines that came out of this Eagles-Commanders game, though. One of which was Nick Sirianni's decision to go for two.
Oh,
that drew
yes.
the ire of Dan Quinn.
The insulting two-point conversion.
Led to a brawl, and then the frustrations very obvious post-game of Dan Quinn. We'll do that next. Steve Zabin's in for Danny Ruye. It's Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Dan, just how, what were your thoughts on the two-point conversion and then the fight that kind of went after that?
Yeah, I thought this would be a tough game that would go all the way through. We talked last year's game. We thought the biggest difference was, you know, the turnover margin. And if we could play, you know, better in that space, we'd give ourselves a real shot to go. So, hey, that's their choice, man. I want to look at the tape and see what happened before, you know, our ejections or poise or any of those things. Like, our guys are absolutely going to stick up for themselves and for their teammates. And so I'll have a better sense, you know, as I get through it.
It was Dan Quinn post-game on Saturday night. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny's out, Zabe is in. So the sequence there is the Eagles score a touchdown. They go up 27-10 with 4:33 to play. Quick math tells you that's a three-possession football game. There is no reason to be up 19 rather than 18 in terms of possessions or football math.
Well, is there a laminated card that says go for two there?
Analytically?
Yeah.
At 4:33 left, up 17?
Agreed. It's kind of ridiculous.
I don't know if there's a card that says that. Now,
by the way, has anyone ever seen the card?
I think every team's card is different, honestly.
I'm sure they probably are.
Because, like, the Nats, as an example, are rebuilding their entire front office, and they're going this data model. They just hired their 31-year-old GM, Ani Kalambi, to come over from the Phils. So I was actually texting with someone about this when they traded for Harry Ford, because I'm curious about this, this catching prospect that they bring over from the Mariners, who's not viewed as a particularly great defensive catcher. And I'm like, do you guys have your own data on him that you're using different than every other team as far as quantifying his defensive abilities? And the answer is obviously yes, but they're like, of course we do. And I'm like, but I mean, have you already crafted your data yet with this new front office? Or are you using what?
Whose data? In other words, did the data hold over from the old regime?
That's what I'm wondering.
Right. Or are you bringing in your own new recipes?
So does Toboney just bring over the...
I would hope they bring their own recipes.
From Boston, he'll bring what he had.
Yeah, you
Kalambi
can't...
Kalambi had his own thing in Philly.
Right. You can't cook off of somebody's recipe book.
No.
If you're going to have full reign on this.
But well, I would think you have to craft your own with what Kalambi likes, with what Toboney likes. So to make it football, right, the Eagles card is going to say something different than the data guys with Washington.
Right.
And they didn't even have that staff until a few years ago.
Let's ask Jay today if he had a card.
I like that. Yeah.
And if he has any that he kept. Because I'd like to bid on that as a piece of genuine, bona fide NFL artifactia. A laminated go for two card. Much like a tip card for seniors at Denny's. How much should we be paying on a $92 bill?
So the physical card is even a question. I'll bet you there's not an actual physical card.
There may not be.
Because there's a dude in his ear
right,
telling him go or not. Now he's looking at a laptop in the booth upstairs
right,
next to Joe Witt, who's not allowed to stand on the sideline. Or,
right,
or is it the other way around? I don't know.
There might be a Twitter account. Go for two or not, like the New York Times fourth down bot that ranks fourth down go or no-go decisions.
You see it on the telecast.
On a percentage of cowardly indexed.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
They have this on Next Gen Stats as go or don't go and percentage of the time you should go at, on fourth and two from this distance. But the Eagles are up 27-10 after the touchdown, 4:33 to play.
They did not need to go for two.
They did not. It's an unwritten rule that at that point you don't, but there's nothing written and you're allowed to do whatever you want to do.
Stealing bases in an 8-run lead?
It's essentially what they did.
I was going to say, what's the marker in that in baseball?
Well, so that one's nuanced too. Again,
yeah,
this is where it gets complicated.
Depends.
This is
home or road. Is it 5-run game? 7-run game.
It's also about, are you still trying as the team that's down?
Right.
In other words, if you're still taking big leads and stealing and doing all this other stuff,
then
are you holding the runner on?
Yeah. Then we're going to keep trying ourselves.
If you're holding the runner on, I'm allowed to run. If you're not holding the runner on, I'm supposed to stay. Like, basically, it's a tit for tat thing. This is why we're making this our poll of the day, the Grant and Danny poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local long distance residential commercial, 3 decades of best in class service and experience. Did you have a problem with the Eagles going for two? Obviously, Commanders players did, because it led to a brawl shortly thereafter on that snap.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Quinn is not going to come out after the game and say he was mad about that for two reasons.
But he kind of did.
He did without saying it. But I mean, for people that wanted the meat on the bone of him calling out Nick Sirianni and literally saying that was Bush League, he's not going to do that because...
No.
A, after you get your butt whooped by 11.
That's whining.
It just looks.
That would get roasted in the media.
The optics are terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't even think the optics of him saying, if that's how they want to get down, we're going to see you in 2 weeks. I thought the optics of that were cringe.
They were bad.
Because I'm like.
That's my point. You can't win.
I'm like, what are you going to do in 2 weeks? Up there. Like, what do you have waiting for him? Huh, coach? Like, but I felt like he was obligated to at least take a aggressive stance at the podium about what had happened.
This is the point, is his guys are watching.
I hear you.
They're upset.
By the way, my alternate theory is that Sirianni just didn't want to see Elliott miss another one. That he literally was like shielding his kicker from the yips because he couldn't make a 2-foot putt. So he's like, you know what? He can't miss an extra point if we don't go for it.
I would buy that if I didn't come into the game thinking Nick Sirianni was a twerp.
He is a total twerp.
Right? I mean,
he is the worst.
If you're having a draft to draft the coach who's the biggest...
Punchable coaches?
Exactly.
I don't know. Sean Payton is way up there for me.
He's high on the list. Calling Jacksonville small market. Backfire.
How'd that work out?
But Nick Sirianni is a dude that loves being hated.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're going to have a draft where you rank coaches most likely to violate those unwritten rules in a way that another coach finds disrespectful, he goes 1-1.
Sure.
I mean, everybody's lining up to get him at the top of that draft board. But my point on Quinn is, the proof is pretty much in the pudding on how he felt there. He called a timeout.
Yes.
With 1:09 to go after the Eagles ran a play on 1st and 10 from the 48.
Right.
It was the least call a timeout situation in the history of the world. He's literally now going, oh, you want to take your ball and go home? Not yet, buddy. You got to stay here for another snap. And it almost backfired on him because on the next play after that timeout, Johnny Newton gets hurt.
Yeah.
Now, Newton gets up and he should be fine. It sounds like he's been cleared and he'll play this week.
But then what did Quinn stop doing? He stopped calling timeouts.
Only, I think, because, well, maybe because his guy got hurt.
Either way, the optics are, oh, you're going to play Johnny Hardo, and then your guy gets hurt, and you're like, okay, never mind.
You get more punk than that. You forget, Zabe. They got 12 yards on that play. So the 1st and 10 from the 48 when the Eagles ran the ball, they lose one. And Quinn calls a timeout, peering across the sideline at Sirianni like, you want to be a jerk? I can be a jerk, too.
Yeah.
They run downhill with everyone in the stadium knowing they're running it. They get 12 yards.
Yeah.
And Newton gets hurt, and then Dan Quinn goes, all right.
It's too bad that these low-level skirmishes, relatively speaking, are what we have to feed on in today's NFL. The coaches of yesteryear, like there's footage of Chuck Knoll squaring up against a younger Jerry Glanville and just chewing him out while handshaking him. I mean, pointing at him, won't let him go with his handshake.
Totally.
You know, there is Jimmy Johnson running after Buddy Ryan when he was running off the field and then saying in the post-game presser, he was too chicken. That fat guy was too chicken to come shake my hand afterwards. We used to have real coaching clashes. Now it's just low-level, subtle, passive-aggressive skirmishes.
Passive-aggressive is the way to put it. You know what the best recent one, and I say recent with a grain of salt because it was 14 years ago now.
Oh.
But do you remember the
Harbaugh,
last... Yes.
And name for the Lions?
Jim Schwartz.
Schwartzy, yeah.
Like one of them like slapped the other one on the back.
Oh, no, Harbaugh did. Harbaugh gave him the hard paw, as I called him after that, and he gave him the back slap, and Schwartz was like stunned and couldn't believe it.
Yeah, like, what is going on?
And then said afterwards, like, what's your deal, man?
That was as cold as DQ gets in the handshake, though. And I thought we had another one with Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson.
It was almost a Belichickian blow through.
Yes.
Belichick was great at the blow through handshake. Like, there's a photo of Belichick shaking Dungy's hand when he was at Indy where he's not even looking at him. He's like over here, and Dungy's like sincerely going to shake his hand. So funny. I mean, look, the egos amongst coaches we easily forget about as fans. They are both massive and necessary to rise to that level of coaching an NFL team. I was talking to a Jaguars buddy of mine this morning about how much he loves Liam Cohen and how when Liam Cohen got called out by Saleh in San Fran about, quote, stealing signals, and then they went to San Fran, beat the Niners, and afterwards there was that dust-up where Cohen's like, keep your name out of my mouth, and then all of a sudden Saleh squares up against him. It all began because basically, you know, Saleh was going to shake the hand of Cohen, and Cohen was swerving away from him like, I don't need to shake your hand. You're a coordinator now, pal. You fell off the boat of being a head coach. Right. I'm a head coach. I'm a made guy, F you. And so the egos are so amazing and huge, and it's a fierce, you know, it's a fierce profession to getting to that spot. So I get it. And these guys are fighting for their lives every damn week.
They are, but they also, I think, in the same way of the unwritten rules we were talking baseball early this segment, there is this feeling of respecting each other, too.
It is a fraternity, and they will often need each other to get jobs later.
Totally. But I just mean in game. Dan Quinn's pissed because Nick Sirianni disrespected him. In the same way, if you're Liam Cohen, you feel like Saleh did that, and that's where you see these exchanges. By the way, as much as I love Liam Cohen, who was a hell of a coordinator with the Bucks, they're missing him. I don't know that there's three guys in the league I would take to design my offense over Liam Cohen right now.
Yeah.
Saleh's -4.5 in that fight.
Oh, no. Saleh is jacked. And we can only assume he would fight well. There are some gym guys who look great shirtless, and then when they go to fight somebody, they're total pussies. But he could probably pound, you know, Liam into the ground like a tent stake.
Saleh looks like he played Lord Xerxes in the 300. I mean, him and that actor are pretty much...
He doesn't skip leg day, arm day, trap day, back day, bicep. No days he skips. No days off for him. By the way, my buddy also said, being a Liam Cohen stan as a Jags fan, he goes, look, this dude made Will Levis a top 10 pick. Or not 10, but maybe first round pick.
Yes.
And I said, that's a hell of a flex thinking about it. I never thought about that.
Oh, he's sharp, man.
That he coached Will Levis into a lot of money.
He had Baker Mayfield in the MVP discussion.
That's another one. Yes.
Look at that offense and Baker right now.
So net, I don't have a problem with what Quinn did. I thought the way he had to stick up for it in the presser was a little bit cringe. My alt theory is that Sirianni just didn't even want to see another kick from Elliott, and we'll see him in a week and a half.
I think Sirianni likes being disliked. It's a division rivalry. He kind of wanted to get his guys excited, and he doesn't care if the Commanders are annoyed, so I'll break the unwritten rule and deal with the consequences. I don't care about that team.
Maybe Sirianni was just pissed because it looks like their tush-push has been blown up for good now. That the Commanders did a good job of defending it, and they got them to false start, and the referees now are finally, Grant, watching the damn play and throwing flags. If that weapon is out of their hands, I think Sirianni knows they're in big trouble. That was an amazing weapon.
Oh, if it's gone, they're cooked. I don't know that it is. It was certainly a bad day for it. There's no doubt about that. The Commanders, top 10 in the draft order, did gain some ground. We'll talk about just how much they climbed up the NFL draft order next. Coming up in about 20, we'll go around the rest of the NFL, the big winners and losers from the weekend. Zabe is in for Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
G&D on the Fan, welcome back. Thank you for making the show part of your holiday week as we steamroll toward Christmas. Danny's out this week. Zabe is in with me today and tomorrow. The Commanders moved from the 8th to the 7th spot in the NFL draft order with their loss to the Philadelphia Eagles on Saturday. They got help as the New Orleans Saints got a win and improved to 5-10 by pummeling a terrible New York Jets team. So the Commanders are up to 7. Here's what's interesting, though. There are 4 teams within 1 game of Washington at 3-12. And of those 4 teams, only one, the Cleveland Browns, have played a weaker schedule. So Washington would currently have the tiebreaker over the Jets, the Cardinals, and the Titans if their records even out.
That's the tiebreaker?
Strength of
schedule.
Sauce? Yes.
Get out.
Basically, if you have the same record, who is the way they determine who the worst team is to pick did you lose to a easier schedule?
Yeah.
So right now you've got the Giants and the Raiders at 2-13. The Giants narrowly have played an easier schedule. They have the number one pick, but that's a number one pick matchup this weekend with them going head to head.
Oh, it's going to be
head to head is the first tiebreaker.
Are you sitting on tankathon.com?
I am.
It's so funny.
It's the best website.
Darius is cracking up.
NFL Draft Tankathon.
That is so great.
I have it bookmarked, and I generally spend the majority of October and November on this site. This year, the first time I went to this site was a little bit later. It was after Thanksgiving.
The essential websites for football fans, profootballreference.com, Our Lads Depth Charts.
Yes.
Because Our Lads updates them all the time. Spotrac.com for contracts. And Tankathon.
Tankathon has made the list. I've got other nerd sites that I really like as well that I subscribe to.
Those are
to.
The 4 essential. What other ones do you have that I need to add to my repertoire?
First, NFL Pro.
Okay.
I'm huge on NFL Pro. It's a
what
subscription
do they do?
With NFL. So it's the All-22 tape. And you,
can,
you get cut-ups not unlike a team would get.
So that's like, what I've seen Orlovsky going through, picking play-by-play.
I mean, he's got his, I'm sure he, with
You think
ESPN,
he's got something even more robust?
Totally. I bet you the teams actually give them access to certain stuff, but.
It's got to be something the teams hold back, though.
Oh, I'm sure
the general public.
Yeah, they all have their own databases and stuff, but like, they're just the All-22 of
what
of
is
the
NFL? What does NFL Pro
cost? So here's
cost.
What you get. So NFL Pro is part of a larger NFL package where you get game rewinds condensed. So after every single game, they cut everything out, and in 35 minutes, you get every single snap.
No, I have that through Game Pass.
Correct.
I subscribe to that. It's $99 a year.
So then you probably also would have NFL Pro.
Really?
If you don't, for a little bit more money, as always is the case, you can do this. So what I do is, I'll give you the example.
If only I, Grant, knew a damn thing about looking at film. Instead, I just listened to Logan explain how they do a Wanda sift and how it's disguised and everything else. I'm listening to you guys coming in on Take Command, great podcast. And he's explaining all the stuff he's seeing and, you know, how, you know, the holding penalty that was called against, I forget who it was.
Coleman.
Yeah, Coleman for doing a little bit of a snatch move.
Yes.
Getting this guy off balance and on the ground.
But see, here's what I like.
I'm like, there's some good detailed ball right here.
Logan, Cooley, these guys who live in this game, they see things that none of us can see.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Obviously, that goes without saying. What I like is, honestly, quarterback evals more than anything else. But, like, after the Bears-Packers game, I watched the majority of that game. I went back after, and I just punch into NFL Pro. You can ask for whatever you want. But
so
I wanted,
just give me every throw?
I wanted every third Caleb down Williams throw? Drop back.
Okay.
You could do downs and distances. You could do against, you know, with pressure, without. Like, there's a lot of different things you could do. Not unlike a team would do in their building.
You say dropbacks. What if he runs a sprint option or something? Does that count as a dropback?
Yeah, if he dropped back first and then scrambled, it'll
show
you.
How about out of
the
shotgun or pistol and he just runs to his right? Is that a, quote, dropback?
Dropback meaning pass attempt or design pass.
But what if it
was
a designed run?
Then it wouldn't be a dropback.
No. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. So basically, dropbacks meaning passes.
But you could do this. You could say every Caleb Williams play, and then his handoffs are there too, or whatever.
Okay.
But for me, I wanted to see how did he play against Green Bay, and by the way, the answer was really good. But so I watched every single one of his dropbacks, and I'm going, he started the game 10 of 21. What the hell was going on? Well, there's four throwaways out of bounds. He's burning a ball into the ground on a screen. Yeah. So you're like, okay, really?
You got to take those out of the equation.
This is like 10 of 17.
He was not trying to complete those passes. He was like, the play's busted, we're done. Do you ever watch the JT O'Sullivan YouTube page?
I like that, yeah. Quarterback school?
Quarterback school is amazing, but holy cow. Hour 10, hour 20. Breakdowns of quarterback plays. What I like about JT O'Sullivan is that he'll watch and he'll say, yeah, I see what Jordan Love's trying to do here, but I just don't know if I'd do it that way. I'd want to throw that one a little bit skinnier, but I'm not sure how their receivers are coached up to run that particular route on that concept. Like, he introduces the ambiguity of even he spending all this time breaking down these quarterbacks doesn't fully know exactly everything.
Sure.
And that's what I learned when I would watch Cooley from time to time do his film breakdowns and how tedious and how long it took. And he'd look at every play two or three times, take notes. And then sometimes he would say to me and Galdi, he'd be like, well, I'll have to ask the coaches about that. And we're like, what do you mean you have to ask the coaches? He's like, well, I'm not sure if they want that played like a true cover three shell or whatever, that they really want it more like quarters. It depends on how they decide to play it.
Yeah,
so even he didn't know.
Oh, I mean,
and it takes forever.
100%.
It is a pain in the
balls. And everybody's coaching it differently, too. Yeah. Speaking of that Bears-Packers game that was great and some of the other epic matchups, I want to get winners and losers out of the way. We'll do that next. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.